We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From the Mobile Pod World headquarters, this is the Carolina Insider. Brought to you by AT&T, a proud supporter of Carolina Athletics.
We're back. Time for another edition of the Carolina Insider. Jones and Adam here with you. Adam, the sport of basketball is... I've never really liked it that much anyway. What? You're trying to put a ball in the hoop? Okay.
Okay, James Naismith. All you're trying to do is find an activity for your kids at recess.
Yeah.
That's all it should have been forever. We didn't need to blow it up into this big thing. Nobody wants to spend all their time on sports. It's just a good activity for gym class.
Yeah.
And cardiovascular fitness.
Yeah. Keep your heart healthy.
Yeah. That's it. For all I care, leave the bottom in the peach basket.
Yeah.
You don't have to take it out.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind having a breather every now and then.
Yeah. Sometimes I need to catch my breath.
Bring the Werner ladder out. Climb up, get the ball out of the basket.
Yeah.
There we go. Certainly no need to be emotionally involved and have it affect my mood or how I live my day-to-day life.
Or future plans or mental health.
Yeah.
Physical health. This would be a good time to play Sad Friday if it was Friday, but it's not. Remember Sad Friday? I thought about that the other day.
I do remember Sad Friday.
It's Friday, feeling down Friday. Toys looking forward to the next game. Friday, feeling down on Friday. Toys looking forward to the next game. Practicing. Roy says run.
I actually thought about maybe getting some Boys to Men End of the Road and putting that in here.
We belong together.
Well, things didn't go the way the Tar Heels wanted in any way in Kansas City. Which, by the way, I didn't see a ton of the Auburn-Kentucky game, but they showed an outside shot of Kansas City and it was sunny. And I was like, what? Where'd they get this file footage? The entire time that we were there, it was overcast and either raining and or snowing.
Where'd you get a green screen big enough to stretch it across the Sprint Center and set up that shot? When I woke up on Saturday morning, and you know you have that moment where you wake up and things are good, and then you remember, oh, no, that happened. And then I went to the window, and I opened the blinds, and the first words I said were,
beep, beep, beep.
What in the world is this? It was snowing hard. No one told me that was going to happen.
the weather kind of just summed up the whole thing, Adam. You know, so Carolina, I mean, 97-80 was the final. Carolina did not play well. The Tar Heels were not at full strength. They lost to a team in Auburn that obviously has moved on to the Final Four and is just that team that is put it together for a run in March and is hot, and all of a sudden everything they do is working. And they're hard to guard. I mean, they spread the floor, and they've got really fast guards who get to the rim, or if you give them space, they shoot threes, and they're making their threes. And so they are playing above where they have played all season long. And it just ended sooner than you felt like it should have.
Yeah. I think I feel two different ways about the two halves of the game. In the second half, Auburn made 12 three-pointers in just the second half.
If they make 8 three-pointers, it's a different the game is different. I'm not saying Carolina wins, but I'm saying it is a different game.
And it wasn't like it was one guy went bananas. 8 different guys made a three. 8 different guys made a three.
I thoroughly enjoyed Dangelle Purifoy, who shoots 35% from three and couldn't play last year because he was under FBI investigation, making 4 threes in the second half.
And then against Kentucky, he couldn't hit the rim. So,
that, like, if you didn't catch my sarcasm, I didn't enjoy that from Dangelle Purifoy.
So the second half, Auburn just kind of was what your worst fear was that they might be. And there's not a lot you can do about that. I guess you could have defended a little better, but honestly, they might have made 10 instead of 12. But it was the first half when Carolina let them hang around and got beat on the glass against a team you shouldn't get beat on the glass by. I think if Carolina plays up to Carolina level in that first half and has maybe an 8 to 10 point lead at halftime, I'm not sure Auburn's tough enough to fight through that. But so the first half bothered me more than the second half did. The second half, I don't know what you can do. The first half, you could have played better.
I thought one thing Auburn did really well, other than just shoot the lights out in the second half, was take Kobe White out of his comfort zone. And they did it better than anybody else has done it, I thought, all year long. And some of that is the speed that they have at the guard position. They denied him the ball. They made him really work to get the ball. And then when all of a sudden you had Auburn, who was kind of keying its defense on stopping Kobe White, and then you have Cameron Johnson clearly not 100% physically, you have Nasir Little not 100% physically, all of a sudden your offensive options for the Tar Heels are starting to run a little bit lower than you want. And so also looking back on it, and this is easy to say now, but you were sitting there right there with me. You and I have not talked about this. You know how sometimes games just, they don't feel right, and you just feel from the very beginning? This game from the very beginning, it just felt like Carolina was not, it didn't feel right. And whether it was they were moving too quickly, or, you know, a loose ball didn't quite go to them, or whatever it was, it just didn't feel right the whole game. And that's, it played out that way.
Just never got in a rhythm. There was that possession when Carolina was up 4 with a minute left in the first half, and Cameron Johnson got a steal, and the Tar Heels came down and got 3 shots and missed them all. And right after that, Auburn goes on the 6-0 run at the end of the half, which of course then carried over into the second half, and just never – you know what it kind of reminded me of was the 95 Final Four, both from a I-wish-everyone-had-been-fully-healthy perspective to a oh, this end of the first half feels ominous for the second half perspective. Mm-hmm. And I tend to think Carolina was probably better than Arkansas in 1995. In a 7-game series, I would like the Tar Heels. And in a 7-game series with Carolina and Auburn, I'd like Carolina. The one thing that I guess was either troublesome or made you feel slightly better or probably worse was I did watch the Auburn-Kentucky game, and Carolina's better than both those teams. At this point, over the last month, the way Carolina played on average is better than either Auburn or Kentucky played yesterday. Everybody had been kind of afraid of Kentucky, they've got really good players, but they did squat against Auburn yesterday. No offense to Kentucky, but if you've got that many good players, throw them the ball. Ashton Hagans looked awesome in Chicago against Carolina.
Seven turnovers against Auburn, right?
And no one was even guarding him. And couldn't hold on to the ball. And so it was just a reminder that that's what the NCAA tournament is. I firmly believe over the last month, Carolina's been better than either one of those teams. And Carolina's going home, and both those teams were playing in the regional final, and Auburn moves on. And that's just what the tournament is. It doesn't matter how you looked over the last month. It only matters what you did on that one day. And that's why it's so hard to win it, because you might run into a team that makes 17 three-pointers. 17 three-pointers!
Third most ever against Carolina in a game. And the most under Roy Williams, the most in an NCAA tournament game. 17. So, Adam, the anything else from the game itself?
That was too bad about Okiki.
Yeah, yes. And he played really well against Carolina. And, I mean, it's one of those where the way he played that day, I'm sitting there going, how does anybody ever stop this guy? Because he's 6'8 or 9, pretty powerful, and can shoot the three, and really played at his effort level was really high. And so I don't, you know, obviously we haven't seen Auburn game in and game out this year. But, I mean, yeah, he was incredible that day.
We had been led to believe they had, like, me playing center.
Yeah.
And then it went out there, they've got this guy who's the greatest player of all season. So he had a great game. Very unfortunate that he got hurt.
So that's the hard part. Well, a lot of hard parts. But part of it is that that's the end of the career for Luke May, Cameron Johnson, Kenny Williams. We'll talk about NBA decisions in a second. But it's never an easy way for the seniors to end, Adam, unless you're winning a championship. And you could tell, particularly with Kenny Williams, who has poured so much into it, that he was very emotional, as you would expect him to be. And you just, that's part of all of it that stinks, is that it ends that way for those guys who have had such accomplished careers and done a lot of terrific things for Carolina basketball.
Yeah, you just want every year to win with a championship for your guys who have been there for 4 years, and you've sort of seen them grow up, and you've seen them do dumb things when they didn't understand what Roy Williams was asking them to do, to grow into the guy who explains it to everybody else because they know it so well. But it almost never ends that way. And I was thinking about this, and obviously I don't know very much about the state of mind of fans of other programs. But I feel like it makes me feel a little better that I've got 4 years to think about Luke May and Kenny Williams, and two to think about Cameron Johnson. So when that game ends the way you don't want it to, you've got 4 years to think back on all the awesome things they did and all that. If you only had 1 year and you knew they were done, I think that would be painful or less satisfying in some way, that you didn't get to know them as well. You don't have this longer frame of reference, and now you've got to start all over again. I think that would be, in some ways, what makes it hurt more is the fact that you know them so well, but in some ways, what makes it better is the fact that you know them so well. And I think that would be tough if you didn't have that.
I don't want to use this as an excuse, but Cameron Johnson clearly was not 100%. In this game, and he has been so incredibly important. His shooting has been so incredibly important to the Tar Heels all season long, and he just wasn't himself, and it was hard to be. I mean, running a fever, throwing up in the locker room after the game just because he was so sick. I mean, it just – that's one of those random things of the tournament that – you can't foresee coming, that two of your top six guys will have been battling this 24 to 48 hour bug right in the 24 to 48 hours at our worst case scenario.
And we talked about it during the game. At the first TV timeout right before, he was bent over holding his shorts when he was throwing the ball in.
Yep.
4 minutes into the game. So there's your sign right there. He's not what he normally is. And if you would have told me when word got around that Nasir Little was sick, who would I least like to contract it next? It probably would have been Coby White and then Cam Johnson, just because of their importance and how that might affect the Tar Heels and how it might affect them. And it clearly affected him. But on the other hand, it's not an excuse. He scored 15 points. If he had been right, would he maybe score 25 and you lose by 7? But it definitely, I think he sat for a longer stretch than he might otherwise. Definitely in the first half. Not sure there in the second half. Things got a little crazy. But in the first half, I think he sat longer than he normally would. So, I mean, there's your guy who might hit 6 or 7 threes to counter Auburn's dozen. And he just wasn't what he normally was. And that's one of those frustrating things that happens.
Hi, guys. It's Jones. After Adam and I discussed the potential of Nasir Little entering the NBA draft, Nasir made it official that he would be leaving Carolina and placing his name into the draft later on in the day. So while Adam and I discussed this, it was still a possibility and not yet a fact. But I wanted to leave that discussion in the pod since it is relevant to what's going on and so you could marvel at how correct we are. All right, back to the pod.
Adam, now Nasir Little and Coby White have, and maybe others, but certainly those two are going to have NBA decisions to make, and hard to know what either one of those guys is thinking as far as the NBA is concerned. I think you said that Nasir Little was asked about it in the locker room after the game. I don't know if Coby White was or not. I think this is with no personal knowledge from either one of those guys. I think Nasir Little is likely to go, would be my guess. And I think that's because Nasir Little has been a projected high pick since last season. I think that the way he played in a couple of tournament games helped him. And he's going to be a first-round pick. If on nothing else, the you can tell that it's in there with Nasir Little. And he showed flashes of it this year, probably not as consistently as he wanted. Some of that had to do with injuries. But I would assume, again, with no personal knowledge, that Nasir Little likely will at least enter his name in the draft, even if he will retain the option to come back. I would assume Coby White would also enter his name in the draft. I would think it would be for Coby maybe a little more reliant on where the draft position is as to whether or not if he is going to come back to school or enter the draft. And whatever that number is, 15, 10, 5, I don't know. That's a personal choice. But at some point, there's going to be a number where if I am almost guaranteed, and we know Coach Williams has as good a contact as anybody to get an accurate estimation of where these guys are going to go, if he gets almost a slam dunk, you're going to go in the lottery, it's hard to turn that down.
Yeah, it really is. I certainly think he would be wise to put his name and go do some workouts.
Sure.
And I think what we know...
Everybody. I mean, there's no downside in doing that for anyone.
I think what we know from having been around this summer when he was doing some workouts with the Tar Heels and playing some pickup, doing some similar things to what he'd be doing in an NBA workout. When he goes and does that NBA workout, those teams are going to like him.
Yeah.
He's going to show up and be legitimately 6'5", which they're going to be a little skeptical about. Oh, he might really be 6'2". Well, he's not. And he's going to shoot the lights out, and he's going to make some other people who are there working out look silly. And I almost think he's too good not to, but that being said, all we got to do is look over at PJ Washington for a freshman who came back and improved his situation. But I think Coby White's situation right now is probably better than PJ Washington's was last year at this time, so he doesn't have as much to gain. Now, all that being said, I do think Coby White loves playing basketball for Carolina. I think he really likes playing for Roy Williams. I think he really likes his teammates. I think it's going to be those intangible things that weigh on him in favor of coming back versus the very tangible things that he can set his family up for life. So it's easy for me to say. You can't go wrong either way. But, Jones, if they come knocking on my door and say the NBA podcast has got several million dollars for me, you might be doing this podcast by yourself, which you basically are already.
What do you think about Nasir?
I think his plan all along has been to go. I think he's, you know, he's an interesting situation, though, because he would play a lot more next year at Carolina.
Right.
He would start every game. He would be one of the go-to guys. We've seen what he could become in the tournament, and it's a very good player. But I think it's tough when you have the plan to all of a sudden go, oh, maybe we'll do something different.
Right.
And I think he's had the plan. There's nothing wrong with that, but I think Carolina's lucky he was here for 1 year.
Yeah.
So I would tend to, and I think he'll be the same way. At workouts, he will impress people.
You mentioned P.J. Washington. This is neither here nor there, but Carolina recruited P.J. Washington heavily. He would have been quite a player for the Tar Heels.
No kidding. There were a couple guys I saw in this tournament who I thought, it's too bad. And Kentucky's got another one, Reed Travis, who was a grad transfer from Stanford. He would have been perfect also, and he disappeared for Kentucky.
Yeah.
But he would have been a very nice fit. Sometimes people make decisions I don't understand and that aren't good for the Tar Heels, and I don't know why they would do that.
I would like a signed, notarized letter explaining your decision, Reed Travis, so that I can feel better about it.
You made a mistake for Carolina. I hope that you feel bad about it.
Adam, looking ahead a little bit for the Tar Heels next year, I mean – well, you know you're not going to have May Johnson and Williams, of course. And I think you have to prepare yourself that you're not going to have White and Little. So the Tar Heels have right now two guys committed in Jeremiah Francis and in Armando Bacot. Jeremiah Francis has battled severe knee problems that started right after he committed to Carolina. So even if he is able to play when he gets here, it will be the first time in several years. And I don't think it's a guarantee that he'll be able to play right when he gets here. I think Armando Bacot is somebody who will play a lot for the Tar Heels next year. He is a big guy who is comfortable being a big guy and likes to play down low. And we know Roy Williams and Carolina likes those type of guys when they are available. And then Carolina is also heavily involved with some other recruits. As we have discussed previously, Adam and I, well, mostly me, Adam could be a maverick. He's out there on his own, can say and do whatever he wants.
I do what I want.
It's due to my employment status in a couple different ways.
And the fact that you'd like to maintain it.
Yeah. I'm not supposed to talk about individual recruits who haven't signed publicly. So Carolina is heavily involved with some other recruits, and I think the Tar Heels are going to need some more guys, and whether that is through a couple of recruits, whether that is through a graduate transfer or two, I think just the way the roster is right now, the Tar Heels need some – they just need some bodies, because while you do have players returning with experience, Seventh Woods, Andrew Playtech, Brandon Robinson – Garrison Brooks, Sterling Manley, Leaky Black. I mean, you have guys coming back who have played some for you and who will naturally be better and older and ready to play more. But I think Carolina needs some more options as well.
Yes. And we may not know the answer to all those questions for another month or so. So it could be a little bit of an unsettling time as you're trying to figure out what's going to happen, because we know Carolina's going to play 20 conference games, with the first one coming on May the 5th or whatever it is. And we know
Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.
Oh, nice random choice.
We know the Tar Heels are going to the Battle for Atlantis, which will be loaded as per usual. We know the Tar Heels play at Gonzaga. We know the Tar Heels play in Las Vegas.
Against UCLA.
Against UCLA, which who knows what will be going on there. So Carolina's going to play a tough schedule, and it may be somewhat of a reloading year. But it could be a great year. We just don't really know as we sit here right now. And you've got the natural progression of some guys who you saw make progress throughout the year. what has Garrison Brooks add to his game? Because by the at the start of the year, that was a question. And by the end of the year, that was a strength. Now, can he add a little bit of offense to go with everything else he does? If so, you've got a really good player. Brandon Robinson turned into a strength off the bench, and now you've got to be able to do that same thing for a larger amount of minutes. Seventh Woods, occasionally good, as he was in the first half against Auburn, but then in the second half he was not as good. You're probably going to need that all the time. So going to be a big summer for a lot of players. We need a full season from the Leaky Train. Looking forward to that. Sterling Manley, it feels like obviously the injury hampered his season and he wasn't able to get back to where he was. Andrew Playtech has got a chance, and Roy Williams really likes the way he plays. If I had to pick someone who no one's thinking about who might end up being important next year, that's who I would pick, because Roy Williams likes the way he plays.
Adam, anything else from the Tar Heels in total? Obviously, we'll have many more pods when random thoughts or news comes out, but anything else from the Tar Heels in total?
What a good series of years this has been. It feels like this series of years has closed.
Yeah, I said this in postgame with Eric. I said two things. I think it's – and I'd be interested. I feel like Carolina – and it's hard to say this with Carolina, but maybe overachieved a little bit this year.
I think so.
And just with and I don't – when you say that, it sounds almost like you're putting them down or something, and I don't mean it that way. I just mean – this group of guys with what they were able to do was probably higher than what we thought maybe they were going to be able to do in the middle of the season, is all I mean. And they really played good basketball down the last couple of months and were legitimately a one seed, legitimately a team that had a chance to make a run to the Final Four. But also, I do feel like the page turns a little bit with Luke May, Kenny Williams, Cameron Johnson graduating and moving on. It just feels like a new era will start next year.
Yeah, I think that's right. And sometimes that takes you by surprise, because I thought an era was ending after 16.
Yeah.
And I remember saying that night, well, the most frustrating thing is Carolina won't get back here in the next year or two. Well, they were right back there the next year. So a lot of times this kind of thing takes you by surprise. But if I had to look at it on paper, I would say this feels like a chapter ending. And I think one thing that's frustrating in 2019 is sometimes it feels like what round you lose in the tournament determines what kind of team people think you were. Like, oh, that was just a Sweet 16 team. They weren't that good. This year's Carolina team was good, and I feel like people aren't as open to that idea as they were in the glory days, like the 84 Carolina team. We can all agree that was a really good team. But they lost before the Final Four. 87, that was a really good team, but they lost in the regional final. But now it seems like if you lose before the Final Four, oh, you weren't that good. This team was that good over the course of 30-plus games. They performed. And because you ran into a team that hit 17 three-pointers, doesn't diminish everything else that you did.
The Final Four is quite a collection of odd teams.
Well,
it is an odd foursome, with Auburn and Texas Tech each making their respective first trips, Virginia making its first trip since the early to mid-1980s, and Michigan State, who's seemingly in the mix pretty frequently, but it's been a while since, I think, were they there in 15, maybe, or they were there here in maybe the last 5 years.
They're here when I need them to be there. I know that.
Yeah. So it feels to me as though it will be either Michigan State or Virginia, but Texas Tech and Auburn have defied the odds to this point.
Yes. These games are fine.
Yeah.
I'll probably watch some, maybe, unless I get a better offer.
Well, and I think this happens all the time with the tournament, at least when Carolina's not in the Final Four. I do think, and I think national attention, not just from Carolina, but I think it wanes the deeper you get into the tournament. And people who love college basketball are going to watch it, and we'll watch it. And But I do think when you don't have all the massive games occurring and you get down to this point, it's just you. It's especially when, and I'm kind of from the bigger picture scale, when there's not a huge name in there, when Michigan State's probably your biggest name in the tournament, you don't have Carolina, there's no Duke, there's no Kentucky, there's no Kansas. You know, there's not one of those teams that automatically people know. I do think the national interest probably is going to wane a little.
Yeah. I like Tom Izzo. He's always very nice to us, and I think he's a very good coach, and you saw some of that in their game against Duke when they would come out of timeouts and run stuff.
I was going to say the same thing. They would run. They were running plays that were working out of timeouts almost every single time.
Which he does. We always comment on that when Carolina plays them.
Yeah.
I like Tony Bennett. He's always nice to us, which, again, is the most important thing. I may not like watching his team play, but he seems like a good guy. I don't know the other two coaches as well.
Right.
But I could be fine with Michigan State winning the title. And Texas Tech and Auburn, The thing about watching Auburn play from this point forward is the only possible option is they're going to make you mad. Because if they don't make 17 threes, you're going to say, oh, now you don't make 17 threes. Just like I said when I was watching them play Kentucky. Oh, now you can't hit the rim when you shoot a three on the fast break 3-on-1 and you decide not to shoot a layup, take a three. That would have gone in against the Tar Heels. So that's the frustrating thing about watching the Final Four when Carolina's out. I couldn't name one player on Texas Tech. Darvin Ham.
Chris Beard is the head coach of Texas Tech. He must be a pretty good coach. I mean, he was at Arkansas Little Rock and got them to, I think, the Sweet 16, and has, I think, is this his second year at Texas Tech? And they made a pretty good run last year, right? To either 16 or to 8 or something like that. And he must be a pretty good coach.
Well, and I had forgotten, I read a really good story this week about how he took the UNLV job for about a week and a half.
Mm.
And then, but he had been an assistant at Texas Tech. He goes and takes the UNLV job. Well, he was an assistant at Texas Tech, then became a head coach, then took the UNLV head coaching job, was there for about a week and a half. The Texas Tech job opened, and he took that one because he said that was his dream job. Well, UNLV is one of those teams that I think is ripe to be better. He would have probably had them pretty good.
Yeah.
And instead, it's Texas Tech. And it's sometimes those moves that you make that everybody says, oh, you're a bad guy because you took that job and you should stay with UNLV, sometimes those things work out. Sometimes you know what you're doing after all. And it looks like he knew what he was doing after all.
We have no guest today, by the way. We're just wallowing in our anger instead.
Our guest is the imaginary therapist who's sitting here with us, encouraging us to get it all out.
Yeah. We're back with, and we'll tell you about it coming up later, we're back with guests on our next show. We'll tell you about that in a few minutes. But, Adam, anything else before we get out of here or get out of this portion of the pod?
I don't think so.
All right. Before Adam gets to his list, which I'm just assuming that he has.
Yes.
Okay, good. Let me remind you that the show is brought to you by AT&T, proud supporter of Carolina Athletics. More for your thing, that's our thing at AT&T. My UNC Healthcare and My UNC Chart. Keep track of your health stats with My UNC Chart. Visit myuncchart.org to sign up. 17 threes and a big sigh. That's my stat, Adam. If you want to go see that Auburn-Texas Tech National Championship game, maybe you can go to StubHub, official fan-to-fan ticket marketplace of Carolina Athletics. StubHub, be there. And finally, UNC.edu, your home to see the impact Tar Heels make every day in North Carolina. Learn more about what's happening in Chapel Hill at UNC.edu. With the basketball season over, that means I get to pull my golf clubs out, which means that pretty soon, hopefully, I will be beneath the longleaf pines in the heart of North Carolina at a place where golf is more than a game. It's a way of life. It's a place with more courses than days of the week, more championships than anywhere in America. That place is Pinehurst. And Jones, it's waiting for you. I got a couple big things on the docket coming up, Adam. Graham Sports Hall of Fame. be speaking at that. Congratulations to all the new Hall of Fame members. Of course, we've got the commencement speech. This is always, like, this week after the season ends, I have to have about 2 days where I just go, okay, I'm now going to go through all these emails. Let me get my calendar set. I have all these things that I know I've agreed to do or I know are happening, but I've just put them in the back burner because, Tar Heels, I got to work on my boards. Get the Tar Heels ready. But now, Adam, real life is back, and that's not as much fun.
It's always surprising when you find out that people have been planning their lives even while the season was going on.
What?
I'm always taken aback by that.
Yeah. Like,
how did you make plans for April the 6th when you didn't know what was going to be happening that day?
Yeah.
How could you ever do that? It's like I'm always surprised when Major League Baseball season starts. Why are you starting now? Basketball is not over. I'm not ready for this yet. You should wait until I'm ready. And I'll let you know when I'm ready. Now I'm ready.
Tar Heel tour coming up soon. Hope to see you at a city across this fine state talking heels.
Are you going to work on some of your graduation speech material at Tar Heel tour events to see what works? Because obviously the graduation speech is more important than Tar Heel tour.
I don't think so. I think Tar Heel tour, it's Tar Heels, Adam. Graduation speech, I feel like I've got to drop some important knowledge for these kids. Hmm. But I don't know what it is because I don't have any.
Yeah, you've got a while to figure it out.
Just be led. What if I just stole a bunch of Coach Williams' sayings? Guys, I want you to be led by your dreams and not pushed by your problems.
Guys, since I left here, these hallowed halls, I've been on one fantastic ride. And I don't mind telling you, these tough little nuts have made me the luckiest play-by-play broadcaster there is. Because every day I go to practice and or the radio show, I get to cover these Tar Heels.
Yeah. Maybe that's what I'll do. I'll have some knowledge ready by then. I have a long time. I still have 10 weeks.
You don't think that you want to pull from your knowledge of maybe like Lil Baby and Da Baby and speak to the youth with what they understand?
Yeah. It's amazing how often I see things about Lil Baby and Da Baby.
I know. Do you think we made them popular? And before this, no one was talking about
them?
It was
our phones were listening, and they just started sending out a lot more tweets and things.
Just the other day, I saw a note that DaBaby had gotten off on some gun charges. Congratulations, DaBaby. No more gun charges. That's great news. You get to stay on the list.
Speaking of a list, Adam, do you have one?
I do.
What's on the top of Adam's list? Brought to you by Top of the Hill, where Tar Heels come to celebrate.
Number one, the Vanderbilt coaching job is open. One of the names being talked about is Jerry Stackhouse, former podcast.
Really? Well, so the AD at Vanderbilt used to run the G League, right?
Yes.
And I can't remember his name.
Is it Malcolm Turner? His last name is Turner, I know that, and I think his first name is Malcolm.
Jerry Stackhouse, very successful head coach in the G League, now an assistant coach in the NBA. So somebody who that AD would be familiar with, and that would be a note to keep an eye on, Adam.
I think that's a tough first college head coaching job.
Yes, I think so, too. I mean, obviously a very high academic institution, a place that has had a moderate level of success in basketball in the past.
Who would you compare him to in the ACC?
Well, I would say Wake Forest, but I think Wake has just come on such tough times here recently.
But if you take out like the last 2 or 3 years, that's a fair comparison.
But I think the Wake Forest job would be hard right now. But of course, Danny Manning's not going anywhere.
Right. So something to watch.
Plus, the floor is all weird. You don't get a coach from the sideline.
You have to sit on the baseline. Who wants to do that?
It's hard.
Jerry Stackhouse should walk in there and be like, guys, if we'll move the benches to where they're supposed to be, maybe we can make this happen.
That will be worth keeping an eye on.
Always a lot of coaching discussion around the Final Four. Mm-hmm. So that'll be interesting to listen to this weekend. Of course, we think friend of the pod, Wes Miller, clearly is a viable candidate for bigger jobs, but he may like where he is. So he's done a great job at UNCG.
He really has done a good job.
I would have to think he'll be discussed, and it'll be up to him as to whether he wants to go somewhere else. Another item on the list, the elevators in the team hotel on Saturday morning. I give them an F.
Somehow I missed this. I came down early enough that it didn't happen for me, but apparently there was a lot of problems.
The problem was the elevators weren't working. That was what the problem was. We had a giant snow monsoon outside. I guess people call that a blizzard. And then go to push the button for the elevators. I was on the 9th floor, FYI. Push the button, and all you hear is whoop, whoop, whoop. I don't know if you know, but elevators aren't supposed to make that noise. We clutchly use, you know that phone that's right by the elevator that you always wonder, what would I ever use this phone for? My wife is smarter than me, and she called the front desk on that phone. And the nice lady who answered the phone said, yes, someone pulled the fire alarm, and the fire department's on the way, and the elevators are not working.
Well, the other problem was I never found stairs in this
Well, here's what I learned from my time in the stairwell while carrying two suitcases and not being at all bitter. The stairs didn't go to the lobby.
Why are hotels like that? Why don't all stairs go to the lobby?
Wouldn't that hamper me in a real fire?
Yeah, they just send you outside, right?
Well, you couldn't get off at the lobby. You had to go past the lobby down to P. Remember how there was that P?
Oh, yeah.
Well, now I know what it's for. It's for pretty far away from the 9th floor. And so you got out of the stairs on P, and then you had to go up the interior stairs to the lobby. Why would I want to do that?
I don't even want this.
I'm sure someone knows why that's wise construction.
When you and I build a hotel, the first thing I'm going to say is, guys, we need stairs that go to the lobby. Yeah. I don't care. The rest of it, whatever.
Yeah, the rest of it's optional. 24-hour room service, I don't care.
Wi-Fi,
Yeah, don't worry about it.
We need a stairwell that goes to the lobby.
I can't – at least three times you said, has anybody seen the stairs?
Yeah.
When we were standing there waiting on the elevator.
Yeah.
No one ever had, and now we know it's because they weren't there. They weren't there, Jones.
They weren't there.
So I – that. But it was a fitting way to cap my weekend in Kansas City.
Ooh, that was on Saturday morning, yeah.
When I'm all grouchy, and here I go lugging my two suitcases down 9 flights
here
of stairs.
Go again on my own.
At random landings, there would be other members of the traveling party, and it was like, stay alive, Nadia. I think we can do this.
Only 5 more floors to go.
And people had on their heavy winter coats because, again, it was a snow tsunami outside, and they had not factored in that they'd be having to go down these stairs. So, whew. But everybody made it out, and there was no real fire.
That's good.
But I did get to see the firemen. Yay! That was.
I was already on the bus, and I pulled the power move of throw the headsets on, stare out the window in gloomy sadness, and don't interact because I'm mad.
Speaking of being mad, how would you rate our walk in the rain on Thursday?
I would rate it big mad, Adam. So Adam, Big Grits, and I elected to go get some lunch. And now I'm going to tell you this, Adam. I looked at the weather forecast in Kansas City, and I saw that there was a lot of rain.
Yeah.
So, but it was also going to be pretty chilly. So I was like, okay, I have my winter coat or I have a raincoat. I don't feel like I should take two coats. So I elected to go winter coat. If I could do it again, I'd take the raincoat. There was so much rain, and particularly on this walk where it rained the entire time. The entire time.
And we weren't going far.
No. Not even half a mile.
No. It was treacherous. It wasn't like walking through a blizzard to try to see Avatar, but I fully expected us to get to the restaurant where we were going and them say they were closed, which essentially they did say that to you.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't. Yeah. And then I couldn't even eat at the restaurant because I had eaten at this same establishment, not like the exact same one, but a different version of it in Chicago the day before the Carolina lost to Kentucky. So obviously I couldn't eat there the day before Carolina was about to play Auburn.
But we didn't realize that until we got there.
Yeah. So I walked in the rain to not be able to eat. And then I had to do a phone interview, and I had to go outside to do it in the rain, and I couldn't hear anything because I was about next to the busiest street in Kansas City, apparently. I should, just from the very beginning, this trip was all wrong, Adam.
Yeah.
It was all wrong.
It doesn't sound like much went right.
No. From start to finish, wrong, wrong, wrong. I don't even want this.
I'll tell you what, Dick. Oh, well, speaking of that, since you said that, I'll move on to this item on the list. Again, I enjoy Dick Vitale as a human. But sometimes he says things such as, I don't know why everybody thinks I'm Dookie V. I don't know why everybody gives me such a hard time. Sometimes he says that.
Right.
The next time he says that, someone should carefully point out to him that after the Duke-Michigan State game, he tweeted out a thanks to R.J. Barrett and Zion Williamson. Screw you, Cam Reddish. We don't care about you.
Sorry, Trey Jones.
Thanking them for what they had done for college basketball. I do not even want this. And I thought to myself, now, Adam, don't you be mean to poor Dickie V without scrolling back on his timeline, because he may have done something similar for other players, or say, Luke May. He gave a little something to college basketball over his, you know, slightly above average 4 years in Chapel Hill. Maybe he got a shout out. But I'm here to tell you that he did not, and nor did any other individuals.
I bet he wanted to only send it to Zion Williamson, but then thought that he didn't want R.J. Barrett's feelings to get hurt. The reaction to Duke losing is always pretty extreme. As it is, I think, for Carolina and Kentucky. And, I mean, the way that media, and particularly one media entity, tells me how thankful I should be to just have the opportunity to... I mean, Adam, Zion Williamson is a great basketball player. It hasn't made my life any better, the fact that I had the opportunity to see him play. Great job, buddy. Great job on your year that you scored a lot of points and led your team to a regional final. Congratulations. But, I mean, to act like somehow that my life is enriched, I don't feel that way.
Love all my kids, and I'm glad I got to be on the planet that 6 months Zion was at Duke. That's what I'm most grateful for.
And I guess it's going to continue, and wherever he goes in the pros – but it has been an exhausting 6 months of coverage.
I think the response to Duke losing has less to do with those actual individuals,
yes,
other than maybe the head coach. There's a little bit there for him. But Zion Williamson himself seems like a very nice guy. I've never heard R.J. Barrett speak, but I bet he is too. Cam Reddish, I always think he's good when the Tar Heels play him. Trey Jones seems real. I like him probably the best of any of them. It's not about them. It's about what you have to hear about them from people who supposedly are not invested in them. That's what I don't like. That's why the reaction is what it is. No, I don't really think anyone wishes ill on Zion Williamson. But they might wish ill on all the people who are supposedly straight down the middle neutral, who are infatuated with him.
What do you think they're going to do with the Zion Cam, like, tape operator here at the Final Four?
Think of all the money saved in CBS's budget. That line item has now gone straight to...
Well, unless they bought that equipment and didn't just rent it.
The Cassius Winston Cam doesn't have the same ring.
My son wants to get a headband because Cassius Winston wears a headband.
Don't let him do it.
I told him Coach Williams doesn't like headbands.
Take off those freaking things right now. That's what you should tell him.
I told him that he doesn't like it. No. I don't know.
Did you tell him you hate cool?
Well, see, you know this as do other people with kids. I can't say I don't like it or then it will become even more something that needs to happen.
Oh, no. Come on, Joe. This is like chapter 3 in the parenting book. You got to say it in such a way that it's a fact, not something he's entitled to have his own opinion about. I hate cool, and so do you. We all hate cool in this house. It's dumb.
Yeah. Sorry.
Take that headband off and go draw a charge.
Go sink a 3.
Yeah, I'm going to need you to thank the passer 3 times because you said you think headbands might be cool.
I'm sorry, I derailed the list momentarily.
Trent Thornton made his Major League debut for the Toronto Blue Jays and set the franchise record for the Blue Jays with 8 strikeouts in his debut. Nice job, Trent Thornton.
I always thought Trent Thornton was a very good pitcher.
Trent Thornton wears almost rec specs now.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. I think that's worth a couple strikeouts right there.
Nice.
That's pretty awesome.
Diamond Heels, after a rough start to ACC play, got swept at Clemson a couple weeks ago when they led in the bottom of the ninth inning twice and lost the game. Starting to get it back together. They won a weekend series against Miami, won a weekend series against Virginia Tech, and then swept Duke this past weekend. So getting back to where they want to be.
Sounded like things got a little chippy on Saturday, but the Tar Heels got the one-run win and then broke out the whooping stick on Sunday.
What was it, 16-6, I think on Sunday? So keep an eye on the Diamond Heels as they're now in the heart of ACC play. A lot of good ACC teams.
Yes, as per usual.
Yeah.
I've got a what up. I've got a vacation from life.
Oh, my goodness.
I've got a how can you justify that?
Let's go.
Let's begin with a what up.
I have a what up, too. People look at that. What's up?
My what up is that you never know when you might run into a pod fan.
Mm.
This weekend, I was at one of the area's finer dance performances.
Mm.
Raleigh Dance Theater.
Oh, this area. I thought you were talking about Kansas City. I was like,
No.
I was like, oh, you went out to a dance establishment, huh?
Raleigh Dance Theater, where only the finest dancers perform. And I met a big pod listener named Catherine Shoemaker.
Hmm.
She loves the pod, listens every Tuesday and Friday when we're man enough to do it twice a week, which sometimes we're not.
What up, Catherine?
So what up to her and also to Dr. Wesley Lindsay, who's going to have a baby girl with his wife, big pod listener as well.
I would like to give a what up, Adam, to Bubba Cunningham.
Yeah.
Tar Heel AD. I would like to give Bubba Cunningham this what up. Not just for the fine job that he does as the director of Carolina's athletic department, but I would like to give Bubba a what up for handling himself in a professional manner, really at all times. He is a fine representative of the University of North Carolina and Carolina Athletics. And I just want to say that I appreciate having an athletic director who does not handle their business in an unprofessional way. The end.
That just eliminated my how can you justify that. I'll just second your what up. How about that?
Yeah.
Instead of my how can you justify that, which is still as unjustifiable as it ever was, but I like your choosing to shine a little light on the positive and not getting bogged down with the negs.
Yeah. We don't want that. Don't get bogged down with the negs.
No, don't do that. Be Tommy. So, I agree. I think he deserves a big what up.
I need to give a secondary what up to Adam. This is like a big what up family that we have right now. Let me just say that I had a fire tweet composed.
4 fire emojis. I rate it.
Yeah. 4.5 on the 5 fire scale.
Yeah.
It would have set off the alarm in the hotel and made you go down the stairs to the P level.
Yeah.
I had a fire tweet composed on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Things were a little emotional. Nobody's in a good headspace. And I had a fire tweet composed. I'm in the car with Big Grits and Adam. We're going back to the hotel. I show Adam the tweet. I'm like, Adam, I'm going to tweet this. And Adam said, Jones, don't do it. Don't get bogged down on the negs. He said, while this tweet is fire, times 4.5, you don't want to do it. So, Adam, thank you. What up for keeping a level head at a heated moment?
I just wanted you to stay out of the gutter.
Yeah.
Because you're better than the gutter.
Yeah, that's right.
Some people are not, but you are. That's chapter 4 in the parenting book. Sometimes you don't have to be stern. You have to give them a pat on the back. Hey, buddy, that's a good tweet. Let's just keep it to ourselves. We'll always know what it said.
Yeah.
That's more important than the 8 million retweets you would have gotten
if
you had sent that out into space.
One final tertiary what up to our driver on the way home after the game on Friday. Because let's just say there was some anger being vented in the car. Just in general, our life situation at the moment and how disappointed we were in everything.
Everything.
Yeah, in everything about everything. It was shockingly pouring down rain. And our driver, Adam, because we experienced the other side of this too.
Yes, we did.
Our driver, man, he just got us where we needed to go in a timely and safe fashion. Didn't inject himself into the conversation in inappropriate ways. He just let us vent, Adam. So what up, nameless driver? Thank you.
Christian.
Thank you, Christian.
Sometimes you just need to get there.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't need to be asked, what do you guys think about this flooding?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm against it.
If there's one thing I know I'm against, it is flooding.
Yeah. I don't think this is a debatable topic. I'm anti-flooding. Okay, so no more. How can you justify that?
Did you like my response when we were asked what I thought about the flooding? I was like, well, I'd certainly have heard about it. And I said, and it's a shame. And then I even brought out that, you know, it's really tricky with flooding because of the flood insurance issue where, you know, a lot of people don't have flood insurance.
I didn't know what the heck you were talking about, but I didn't know what she was talking about either. Well, I didn't know what flooding she was talking about.
Major flooding in the Midwest.
I had not heard a word about that until I tried to cross the street in front of our hotel, and then I was up to date on the flooding.
Yeah,
it's all right there at that intersection. So now we're just down to a vacation from life. Because sometimes you just need to be reminded of how innocent the children are. On Sunday early afternoon, I was discussing with our younger son, Asher, that afternoon's basketball games.
Yep.
And he said, it seems like the games are earlier today than they were yesterday. And I said, oh, yeah, they are today. I think they're at like 2:30 and 5. And bless these children. Do you know what he said next? Is that so the players can get back for class? Brings a tear to my eye that he would believe that would be the case. And I had to say, no, it's so they can air 60 minutes.
Sorry, champ. They just want the best TV window.
We need Jim Nance to lead into 60 minutes. It never crossed their mind about getting back to class. In fact, probably they won't even have the planes there to take these teams home, if I had to guess. But I love that thought. Just the fact he had that in his heart is a little vacation from life.
Adam, unless your list continues, we have a story.
That is all.
Now, this is like an Inception story time. It's a story time about a story time.
Whoa. Bring out all the big guns now that the season's over, why don't you?
This is from Greg Snodgrass. Greg, in the first paragraph, tries to tell us this story isn't worthy of Mr. Goosehonkers. But Greg, oh, it is.
I think we'll be the judge of that, Mr. Snodgrass.
Greg's email is titled, Talking Pants. Which really is perfect because it can go a lot of different ways. Are we talking about the pants? Are the pants talking? Maybe, Adam. It's both. So, Greg Snodgrass's story titled Talking Pants. Mr. Goose Honkers starts like this. The mega corporation I work for hired a team of consultants to streamline workflows, create synergies, or whatever it is that consultants do. I was selected to represent our department in a meeting with the team. So there I was at the head of a conference table with a dozen Bobs. Nice reference to Office Space.
I didn't get it, but yes.
When some... You've never seen Office Space?
No. Is that related to The Office?
No.
Two different things.
Totally different.
Not related at all.
Correct. Except for they both have the word office in their title.
That's what's always confused me. I always thought the TV show was like a play on the movie.
No.
Because the movie came first, right?
Yes.
Never seen either one.
You would like the movie.
Who stars? Does it have Val Kilmer?
No. No angry dancing either.
It's not sounding like my kind of thing.
Which, by the way, I think maybe a Roadhouse Challenge would make us feel better here soon.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, excuse me, Greg. Let me continue. When someone with a familiar voice interrupted me and started talking about how he had forgotten his pants and he couldn't figure out what he was going to do without his pants. Etc.
A reasonable problem.
Yeah. Adam, a problem you know well.
Yes.
Startled and a bit indignant, I turned to identify the missing pants man. And Adam, this is where this story gets a little confusing for a second, but it comes back. Then Greg realized it was his pants talking and with a southern accent to boot.
That's how my pants would talk too.
You're right. Because Greg said the southern accent, a little bit unusual in his town, in his, wherever he, well, he was in Los Angeles. I don't know if this is his hometown or not. This is where the conference was occurring. In fact, come to think of it, Greg's pants sounded a lot like Adam. Then it dawned on Greg. He accidentally jostled the play button on his phone, which was in his pocket. So it must have started playing what he had been listening to on his commute that morning, which, naturally, was the pod. As luck would have it, it was the episode where Adam was telling everyone about forgetting to pack his pants for the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. Unfortunately for Greg, none of that context was included in the snippet that everyone at the conference table heard. So now they all think I enjoy listening to stories about people with no pants. Which I guess is kind of true, given all the recent pants-free crime stories we've heard on the pod. See you later, Big Grits, Greg.
We don't know for sure that everyone around the table wasn't thinking, oh, this reminds me of Tay-Tay Lily.
Yeah.
I did cross my mind after the game this weekend. That could have been on me because I remembered my pants this weekend. Perhaps I should have forgotten them.
Adam, anything else before we go?
I don't believe so.
Okay. So, no guest on today's pod. We're going to make up for it on the next pod because we have three guests. Adam and I, a couple of weeks ago now, had the chance for a really cool sit down kind of round table discussion with Lenny Rosenbluth, Joe Quigg, and Tommy Kearns, all members, of course, of the undefeated 1957 national championship team. And Adam, it was a different kind of interview in that you and I asked a couple questions and kind of facilitated the conversation. But it was more of those three gentlemen, all of which who have played a huge role in Carolina basketball history. It was just them kind of talking and laughing and telling stories and picking on each other. And I think people are going to enjoy it. It's longer. I think the interview or in total, the discussion's almost an hour. So I hope people enjoy it coming next pod. It's a little different again from what we've done in the past, but I think people will enjoy it.
That will be honest to goodness Carolina basketball history in a pod.
Yeah.
because that's the three living starters from the 57 title team. And a lot of times we talk about how when you get to be around the 57 team, you immediately see the kind of camaraderie they have. And what I think and hope will come through in that interview, you'll be able to feel that. And you'll be able to see how they pick right up where they left off. And they're still teammates this many years later. And some of the stories they told were great. And always just great to be around them in general. And a little slice of Tar Heel basketball history that I think people will really like.
Different, but I think a lot of fun. And again, maybe you don't know much about 57 title. I think you're going to learn a little something, too, about an important part of Carolina basketball history.
We're on a roll with our New York City point guards. You better watch out, Jimmy Black and Derek Phelps.
We're coming for it. Derek Phelps has been on the pod before.
Not in person.
Let's go out to San Francisco. Go talk to him. Adam, who should send us off today?
Well, I would tend to say the seniors, Jones. That's an honor they've earned.
That's right. So
I know they've done it recently.
Yeah.
But I feel like this it's something every Tar Heel looks forward to.
Yeah. There are no rules here, Adam. So Cameron Johnson, Luke May, Kenny Williams. Those three young men will send us out here on the Carolina Insider.
I'm Cameron Johnson. See you later, Big Grits.
See you later, Big Grits.
Tar Heel Nation, this is Kenny Williams signing off. See you later, Big Grits.
When I was small, we had nothing at all. We used to eat grits for dinner.
Pound box of sugar and a stick of margarine. A hot pot of grits kept my family from starving. Steamy hot meal served less than 5 minutes. Big silver pot boiling water salt in it. House full of brothers and sisters, the pot's missing. Pilgrim on a box on the stove in the kitchen.
When I was small, we had nothing at all. We used to eat.
See you later, Big Grits.
The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Tar Heel Sports Network.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.